Welcome to Tech Chat number 42 for November 19, 2009. Tonight's topic is self-employment and working from home. Maybe, but maybe not one and the same, because there's two different facets of it. There's certainly people who have their own business and definitely work for themselves. And there's other people who, unfortunately, two of my guests couldn't show up, who are actually, one is a contractor and one works on the payroll of a specific company. So both of those would have offered some interesting perspectives. But we'll talk about that a little bit, because that may be the ideal scenario for some folks who want to work from home, but they don't really want to have their own business. And some folks have been successful in that. We'll give you some ideas how to pursue that. Our guests this evening are Bill and Jennifer Sparks from Indianapolis, Indiana. And, of course, they do a few different things. You don't just stop at having a business in their home. They have a website called rememberradio.com where you can actually purchase old-time radio shows, either CDs that are pre-recorded and mailed to you if you like, or you can download shows, kind of choose your shows that you're interested in the shopping cart and then download them as MP3 files. And because that's not enough, they also has legend-oldies.com, which is a radio station. So he mixes careers and hobbies, as most people do who like to play around with this stuff. You turn your passions into a vocation for yourself. So legend-oldies.com with the best oldies of the 60s and 70s. The All Things Radio Net, which is a website that hosts their podcast, the All Things Radio Podcast. They just launched show 36. So I guess that would mean it's been going for about 9 months. And, of course, the BillSparks.org website, which was kind of the beginning foundation of it quite a few years ago, with over 6,000 radio streams. Bill went out and found some of those hard-to-find stations, finding some shortcuts so that folks who wish to can circumvent the web-based players and some of the Java and Flash technologies so that they can actually listen to it in their media player of choice, in particular interests of folks with mobile phones. Bill and Jennifer, thank you for joining us this evening.
Glad to be here.
Our topics tonight will include A, choosing a business, setting up your workspace, shopping your competitors, find out what the going rates are for your products and services, startup costs for a business, any special computers you needed, either PCs or laptops or netbooks, more importantly, maybe the software that you needed to make it work, strategies for backing up your important data so that you don't lose it, all around costs, you know, whether it be office supplies or just other things that you may need, legitimate grants. There are some grants out there for minorities and folks with physical disabilities. If you need a grant, if you have a business idea that does require a few thousand dollars that you don't have, and we'll talk about some important things like billing and record keeping and taxes and any legal concerns you may have with your specific job. And two big things, of course, marketing, letting people know that you're in business and taking orders or offering services. And the whole sales concept, you know, when you have to put on that sales hat and make yourself Mr. Salesman to get our word out, maybe even paying for services like the Google AdWords. We'll talk about the fun of setting up a website and how much that may cost, and having people available, finding good, talented people to provide online maintenance for those websites, even using the popular PayPal service to take money and process credit card payments. We'll talk about the important issue of time management. How do you keep it all straight if you got a family and other people who just assume because you work from home that you can be bothered and interrupted at any time? Why old-time radio? Why did you choose that as the business to go into and offer?
At the time, I didn't know a whole lot about old-time radio when I set up my original website. I started getting the requests from users of the site. They wanted more old-time radio. And Jennifer here turned me on to old-time radio. We just started dating back in those days. I've got to find a way to try to pay for my hobby. So I searched around and found a OTR collection on MP3. It's about 200 CDs, and I thought, oh my God, I've got all the old-time radio in the world. I'll never need any more old-time radio. So we started setting up the website, and I found out actually how little I really did have. And I thought, oh, I'm an old-time radio expert. Oh my goodness, no, I wasn't. And how we had to start building upon that. But I think probably because it was a user type thing that kind of got me interested in it. And I always liked old-time radio, and I never thought I would end up one day doing that as a business, but that's kind of how it evolved.
That's a very important point that I want to address, is the fact that you turned a hobby into a career. truth be told, 99% of people who are going to be successful at this are going to come at it one of really three ways. The main way is turning something that you love, a hobby, into a career. Your costs are a bit less because you already have the materials that you developed by pursuing it as a hobby. Once you decide to make money from it, then it's an issue of adding the elements to run a business with it. And really, the other way that you're going to end up working from home is either to work for some company and probably coming into that because of someone you know. I just spoke with Scott Rakowski from Sydney, Australia tonight that said that he works at home for an internet service provider because they're located in Melbourne, which is 12 hours away. But because this gentleman was Scott's supervisor, he knew of his work and trusted and felt comfortable hiring him to work from home. So that's very important. That's why we always need to make good impressions of the people that we work for. You never know when someone's going to branch out from a manager or supervisor and kind of go out and start their own business. And some companies are wanting to outsource and have people work from home, but, you know, they're not just going to hire you off the street without knowing that you have some skills. So then there's the issue of how do you make yourself a professional? Well, A, it's a bit of work experience, and that's why there's many, many books on this website. And I would encourage you to read a few of these that you find interesting. I give quite a list of books from the NLS, the National Library Service, that you can either download from the BARD program if you have one of the five different devices that will actually play the audio. Find something that you love doing. Some of them are more specific about going into a workplace because maybe before you start your own business, maybe you want to go work for someone else who's doing that and kind of learn the ropes. That's not a bad idea either. Many folks have gone into it that way. Jennifer, I want to ask you about the startup costs. That's something that varies greatly depending upon the business. You can spend a little bit of money and get things off the ground, but as we want to grow and do things better, more efficiently, we start spending more money than maybe we ever even thought we would into the business. But how much do you think you have in startup costs for the Old Time Radio store?
Just for the store itself, the original collection probably was, $400 or $500 maybe. And then we, just to start, and the computers we already had, the website and got things like that started, it was probably easily a couple $1,000s to start it.
And with the burners and CDs and labelers and all of the things you have to do, easy $2,000 to $3,000.
Go online to other websites or call up other competitors, people who are offering old-time radio, and find out how much they were charging for their content. How did you check out your competition?
We looked at other websites to find out what they were charging, and that's how we realized that we didn't have near the collection that we thought we had, because we would compare one website to another and find out that they had lots of shows that we didn't even know were out there.
What about special hardware? I guess you said CD burners, right? You had to buy those. Did you get any special computers or printers for making labels or any other technologies that you had to buy specifically for the business you would not otherwise own?
We eventually got a thermal printer that all it does is just put labels on CDs. You can put a CD in it, and it has a ribbon in it that looks kind of like the ribbon that goes in a fax machine, where the ribbon winds from one side to the other, like on big spools. And then we have duplicators that can make four copies of the same CD at a time. The printer was the biggest thing that we purchased just for the CDs.
Now, you mentioned the websites. I guess that cost you quite a bit of money. We'll show one of them here. This is the one of the legend for your radio station. So you do this work, and then you have these hobbies. You have the legend, which is your radio station playing oldies from the 60s and 70s. BillSparks.org, because this is your database. How much do you spend just on web maintenance and paying someone to build a website for you?
I'd like to have all the money I put in that. I think the original website wasn't so expensive. It was just doing all of the work to get the database built up in the first place. But the first Old Time Radio website, I think, was about $6,000 for the first BillSparks.com, which was the first original Old Time Radio store. And that was a custom-built website, which a lot of times now you can go with companies which will have these cookie cutter type websites that, you know, you can plug in these different themes and do it a lot cheaper.
Which would be great if we didn't have such a thing as accessibility to think about.
Oh, yeah, that's a little minor detail. I forgot about that. a lot of web developers and people don't understand your special needs, or if you have customers who have special needs. So that's something that you have to continually preach to these web people. I want this accessible. This must be accessible. It has to be accessible.
So what about record keeping, you know, taxes and keeping receipts of all your transactions so that you have something, do you have an accountant? You just go in every year, every 3 months, and with all of your kind of expenses and any revenue that you've derived from it, and let them sort it out. How do you keep all that straight? That's going to be a lot of...
That's what we have Jennifer for. That's Jennifer's department. Jennifer, what do you do there? I just turn that over to you.
Well, I keep all of our receipts so that I have proof of everything, like all the supplies and everything like that. But also, PayPal Pro is a good way to keep track of all of our transactions. And I have, I'll use a check writing program, either MoneyTalks is what I've been using now, but I used to use QuickBooks.
Right. So you have worked with QuickBooks and good old Money Talks. I remember you mentioned that before when we did our show about tools for living independently. And you mentioned good old Money Talks. So it's still out there. It's still happening. That's what, an APH product?
Yes. Okay. And I like it because you can write a normal check. You know, you don't have to have specially ordered checks to use it. So even for business, you know, you could save, because we saved some money by being able to do our checking account as doing business as, so we could get regular wallet size checks, which maybe doesn't seem like a big deal, but it is compared to having the kind of checking account where they do all the cost analysis and charge you another $70 or $80 every so often just for that.
So let's talk about, so you've spent all this money. Now, how do you get the customer? I know you, I guess, what do you do, email lists or Google AdWords, I think was a big thing. And explain that to people. So you actually spend money to buy, basically, click-throughs of certain words that are popular, relevant to the types of content that you're selling, right?
That's probably our biggest form of advertisement, is doing it that way, where we go out and we contract with Google. We bid on certain words and terms. If somebody looks like up old-time radio or old-time radio shows, or, you know, shows on MP3 or
it
suspense.
It would be more a specific radio show, and you pay so many cents to keep your, for that show. It's almost like a continuous auction where, say, Amos and Andy, if you're willing to pay so many cents for that show to keep your listing of it so high in the ranking.
Right, and then you set a limit, right? I know you said even before the store, I remember you said in the 9/11, you had some keywords, AdWords you were paying for, and then so many people were looking for online radio to find out what was going on with the terrorist attacks that it easily exceeded the limit you'd set for your credit card.
It within 1 hour on 9/11, I never forget it. I was still working at Social Security office, and the webmaster called me and said, hey, you've exceeded the limit in just a few minutes. And I think we had 1,500 hits in just less than an hour. So, yeah, if we wanted to just bid on radio, we could really push our stats up. But if it's old-time radio, then you have to pay for those specific words to get yourself ranked. And that's a marketing thing in itself, where companies just derive their income on trying to make your website or selling the concept to other businesses to get you up in the rankings, to make your site visible for everybody to see.
Right. So you need to, obviously, you would need to make sure that the words you use are things that you can actually derive revenue from, right? So you actually just had the word radio, because this was 8 years ago, and so you would either have to sell radios or do something if you had a keyword like that to make sure that you could derive revenue. Otherwise, you would just spend a lot of money, on people looking for freebies out there. So that's
exactly right. So that was a learning experience.
Now, what about time management? How do you make time? How do you allocate time to do all of these things?
Probably because we probably, I don't, you know, we've both of us, since we retired from our main jobs, it's a little easier. You know, we get up, we determine how many orders have come in into the store, and we know what time, you know, we have to allocate. And then Jennifer also has a contract with Power and Light where she does utility bills here from home. So
in Braille, right? Yeah.
Right, in Braille. So, we just know that there's so much time we've got to allocate, and, you know, there's so much time for the website, podcast. It's just...
So it sounds like you use the early to bed, early to rise thing, where you make sure you do that work, the first part of the day, get that out of the way, then before you go on to the other three things that you're involved with but don't necessarily derive revenue. So it's work first, and then, I don't know if you call it play, but work first, and then onto the hobbies you love, sounds like.
Well, that's it. I mean, because whenever you take credit card orders or you have customers who are depending upon you to get their particular product, you need to get that product out, and you can't wait and, well, I'll just do it next week when I feel the inclination to do it. No, you have a responsibility, and you have to do that.
Well, it certainly wouldn't repeat business. So if those people, if you take 3-4 days before they even get some acknowledgement that, you know, they on to your competitor, and then you never get that business back. So I assume a lot of your sales are repeat business. They say that's really what makes or breaks a company, is customers that come back.
I believe so. More and more, and, you know, we've got a, you know, old time radio over the years, is the market share of it has went down, and the fact that people can go to so many different sites and download and get shows for free, or if they're internet savvy, you know, they can go out and find the same material themselves. So what we sell to are the people who really don't want to take the time to do this or want it organized for themselves.
Now, I want to talk about this because some people I know actually have some products, maybe they're musicians or whatever, they make crafts, but they are afraid of PayPal. And you've told me that PayPal is as much or more than 50% of your revenue that you make goes through PayPal. So talk about that process, how to get that set up, and why people need to either get over their fear or maybe what they need to watch out for.
Well, then again, Jennifer was the one that initially set up the PayPal and the PayPal Pro. But, you know, it happens that in order to do business on the internet, you have to be able to take credit cards. You can't depend upon somebody to send you a check or send cash in the mail. So you've got to have a way to collect that money. But also, in the one reason you use PayPal is you need, you know, a merchant account, but you need to have security. You also need to be able to take money from these credit card providers like Visa, MasterCard, Amex, you know, Discover DinerCard, all of these different cards. And PayPal Pro offered us that option without us having to go out and make separate deals with each company like we did at first. Anything to add to that, PayPal, Jennifer?
The one thing that I liked about PayPal Pro as opposed to the other company that we used when we started out was that I don't actually see anybody's credit card number. And I can, if I need to give them a refund for some reason, I can do that just through their order, and I never see their credit card number. Okay. Unless it's a phone order and they specifically give it to me. But other than that, I have no access to their credit card number at all.
So you, in that sense, feel more secure because it's not even stored anywhere on your computer. You don't have to worry about someone breaking into your machine to get that data. That's all housed on PayPal. And I guess the PayPal Pro, the benefit is that can be integrated in such a way that the user doesn't even know they're buying from PayPal. Is that correct?
Right. They never leave our website. If they're using MasterCard or Discover or one of those cards, they never actually leave the website unless they specifically say they want to use PayPal to pay. Otherwise, they'd never know whether we were using PayPal or anything else to do it.
Very interesting. Is there anything you want to address before we open up and take some questions and kind of see what our listeners have to ask tonight?
I think we've pretty well covered it all, unless Jennifer has something to add. Jennifer?
The only thing, well, and you probably are going to cover this, is, you know, people looking for jobs, and there's so many scams that people are, with all these different internet places telling people, you know, put these toys together for X amount of dollars, and, you know, you can do this from home and make all this money. And I know so many people that have tried doing things like that because they want to do something from home.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to actually show some PowerPoints here a little bit later of some of the common business scams. I did open up the text question part, so if you want to send us a question, you can type it in there and submit those, and I will relay them as Bill and Jenny are on Skype. But yeah, just some of the basic ones until our first questions come in include, A, the stuffing envelopes. Here, we'll pay you to do this from home. The crafts, as you said, assembling craft items. It's going to be pretty hard to beat a machine or a production line, assembly line type of setup, or even some of the other countries where people work for 30 cents an hour. So, again, they say assemble these crafts and we'll buy them back from you. And, of course, they either say they weren't built well enough or, okay, you built them, now you have to sell them. So there's a lot of things. There's courier-type scams. We need someone to process payments in your country, and really they're sending you counterfeit checks. So you can end up in some illegal activity unknowingly, actually. Also, a big thing about overpayment. Has this ever been an issue? What about scams that you yourself have had to deal with? I know some of the ones that I saw kind of coming in my work with the Better Business Bureau where, A, someone wanted to pay you more than the actual amount and want you to reimburse it in some other way, or one I've seen hit businesses is someone wants to buy like $5,000 or $10,000 of your product, and maybe they want to use a couple cards to do it, or they want you to send it overnight. Maybe they're contacting you from England, and then they want you to ship it to Africa. Or have you seen anything like that? Some problems you've had with orders or people trying to scam you as a business?
Oh yes, that happened to us. We started getting a lot of orders from this same individual and couldn't figure out, my goodness, but these orders were a little strange, but we had never had that happen. We started shipping out this product, and then all of a sudden, we started getting these chargebacks, and we learned that somebody had obtained a stolen credit cards, or what was that country?
Ghana.
And, you know, we had to eat the cost on that. And from then on, if any order even looks a little bit suspicious, we go through very, very carefully to check that order, because you're ultimately held responsible for it. So it's very, very important that you make sure that you're shipping to the right customer and that everything is valid. And if you don't understand, you need to send an email or make a phone call. I know you said, well, that takes time. I guarantee you, once you pay for a chargeback or two that somebody has scammed you, then you see the light of day real quick.
Another big one, right, is Yellow Page scams. Yellow Page is not, no one owns a trademark, so they can say it and people assume it's their phone book or these business directories. And we're going to put you on these phone book covers or on some billboards somewhere. And a lot of shady things like that going on, or just bogus invoices. We'll just send you an invoice, and or maybe they'll call and speak to someone in your company and kind of find out some information so that they can address it in such a way that, you know, whoever handles the billing thinks it's legit and looks at it very carefully. So a lot of things like that. Maybe we'll show some of that in a little bit. I'm going to now enable the live voice chat, and we'll take some questions again to prevent multiple people from talking at once. Just press F9 or left click on the actual talk button and just state your name, and then I'll call on you in turn, and we'll see how that works. Here, we'll take some questions. Anyone have any questions this evening? Well, we have no questions, either text-based or audio, so unless there's either something amiss with the presentation,
This is Matt, here. Michael. The presentation is fine.
Okay. Well, apparently they're either interested in what we're talking about. So let me, in that case, go over and show a few PowerPoint slides of some scams that I have personally dealt with. And we'll start with the business scams PowerPoint slide. These are the top 10 business scams, and this is courtesy of my former employer, the Tri-State Better Business Bureau. And the first slide there is kind of introduction, and then we'll go to the first, you're talking about the Yellow Page scams, invoices in alternative business directories that may not even be seen by anyone, maybe never even be published at all. It may feature a name like Yellow Pages, have the Walking Fingers logo that no one owns, and just a lot of problems like that. Okay, well, Matt, okay, we'll see here. Okay, hold on here a second. I'm going to disable the live voice chat to free up some screen real estate. And on First is money laundering scams emanating from Nigeria. And you said Ghana, so again, Africa, different places that we see these. Again, it's processing payments and, you know, saying, well, we're in Africa. We can't become legitimate merchants in the U.S. if you just do this for me. Usually they're counterfeit checks. Sometimes it's receiving stolen merchandise and then reshipping the products are all some things that can happen there. Next slide talks about the phony invoice. Basically, an initial phone call. The swindler gets a name of the key business people in the organization. They're pretty smooth and they can a lot of times go through even large companies and get pretty high up. But sometimes they just deal with low-level folks. That's all they need to do. They get names and figures and some specific details about the company, and they learned, based on the size of the company, how much to make the invoice for to oftentimes get it to pass through. And so that's why it's good in any company to have designated people that always handle the financial transactions so they can tell of any abnormal activity that may be coming into play. Our next site is labor poster solicitations. Again, some of these aren't really for the in-home operator, but there's companies that sell these posters for $50 that you can go out and get for free about labor laws and so forth, and stating that you have to list that in your business. Overpayment scams. This is a big one I saw. Here we need to buy $300 worth, but I've got this check. It was already cut for something else for $750. If you could go ahead and process it and just give us back the $450, and of course you're out. You know, you get a bad check and the $450. I've also seen that in hotel situations where they book a hotel and then cancel at the last minute and then either ask for their money back, you know, and their down payment, which was already done with a stolen credit card. In other words, they're trying to get the onus off of the stolen credit card itself are all some issues that we've seen. Here's a vanity pitch. Hey, Bill, Jennifer, we've come up with this new awesome publication of the Who's Who, the most interesting and coolest people in Indianapolis, and we want to put your name on it because you're the best. And, you know, hey, for $300, everybody in Indy will know of the best business people, and your name will be on it. The only problem is, hey, we're not going to publish it at all, or if we do, we're only going to send it to the people who actually paid for it. And another one like that is kind of, you know, for authors and publishers and people who write songs and stuff. Here, we'll publish your music for you, but the problem is the only people that get the publication are the ones that actually pay for it. So there's a lot of stuff like that, you know, books. It's real common in books. Here, we'll publish your book, and a young aspiring writer gets very excited about that fact, and so they want to give that information, and they find they basically were taken. So there's a lot of people that will basically exploit your hopes and dreams. Next one is office supplies and paper pirates. I don't know if Bill, you or Jenny ever got any of these. Basically, they phone or fax or drop by door to door trying to sell toner, you know, other business supplies, things of that sort. We see that a lot. You may not get as much since you don't have a storefront, but certainly they will do the phone call as well. So that's all of these are things that I've seen firsthand. So I know these, you know, if you get a business out there and start advertising and the scammers see that you have a business, they'll be contacting you trying to pawn off one or more of these. So certainly some more than others. I think the yellow page and the invoicing, you know, offers or faxes, which generally is illegal to fax advertisements anyway, unless you gave your consent for that. Here's a big one, phone bill cramming. And I think you have had this before, where they basically, the phone companies do bill for some third parties and they put some unauthorized charges inside your phone bill. So make a note of what your phone bill normally is. And then if you see any spike in price, look through it more carefully to see exactly why, you know, why you're getting those charges. Have you had anything like that? I thought you said once you did, Bill, have a problem with being billed on your phone bill for some things that you didn't pay for.
Maybe we've had that. We've had more of the scam people calling from Yellow Pages and trying to get us the search marketing thing, trying to get us up on the search, and we'll do this, and we'll put you on a million websites. And
yeah, they'll build you a website, which is a real generic static page that they'll build somewhere. They'll just have your name and your hours. I've seen those. It's like a little template, and they get a couple $100 from you, and they fill it out, and it's on some kind of free search or something they didn't pay any money for. So yeah, that Yellow Page, as we call it, seems to be the number one. That's the one that I've heard most from business owners that everyone has dealt with at one time or another. And the final slide here just gives the contact information for the Better Business Bureau in Evansville. So, you know, that's just to some of the issues that people are dealing with. The text question element is open if you have any questions about anything that we're talking about this evening. Again, a lot of material to cover. And
the only thing I might caution anyone using PayPal for a business is that there are these phishing things that use where you would may get an email saying that it's from PayPal, and they try to get you to update your account information and things like that. PayPal doesn't send you an email like that and tell you to update your account information. They would either contact you by phone, or there would be some kind of a note in your customer service center on PayPal itself.
Very good point. And just the whole email thing, there are a lot of things claiming to be your bank, but especially with PayPal, because you do business with them, and they make those URLs sometimes look very close. So, and all official emails by PayPal do address you by name, but even some unofficial ones can, it's going to be a little bit more than that, but that's your first clue. But look at the URL and see where it's pointing to, or view the source of that if you're in Outlook, and don't just click on that link and see where it's directing you, because PayPal is certainly targeted because there's a lot of activity. So if in any doubt, contact PayPal directly, but be very careful in pursuing them. Yeah, first thing, it's going to address you by your surname, I guess, so to speak. So what were some of the, have all of them been obvious? Have you ever come close to getting caught by one of those? Because they're getting trickier and trickier, I'm seeing.
Oh, I'm sure we have. I've seen it very close, especially when we were first starting out. You can very easily get tricked. I was thinking about that today, going through my email, and something said, an invoice from here, you need to send money here. And I know I don't do business with these companies, but I've seen that very close on PayPal. And PayPal itself says, do not open this, it's officially something from PayPal. If you read it, it says, do not open these in the same window, or, go to your PayPal account and log in and don't click on any links from an email.
Yeah, I'm showing here some of the work at home type of scams. This covers a few. This isn't my favorite PowerPoint, but there's a few good things in here. And one of the first things it talks about is the fact of who's targeted, the disabled, new mothers, because obviously they're more desperate to find something that can work at home and take care of their children, or because of the disability, whatever it may be, that it makes travel more difficult for them, or they want to be comfortable in somewhere where the disability is not seen outwardly. Here's a big common one of companies claiming to offer you work. And again, this kind of goes, it could be envelope stuffing in a way, but it's basically, here, we can get you a job, or we'll say you a list of all companies in your area that are hiring people for about $40, and then you basically get either an outdated list or get absolutely nothing at all, or the only way to make money is to get other people to send money for the same bit of information. So that sometimes is equated to the envelope stuffing, but kind of the same problem that you can deal with there. And, of course, if you send in the money, the nothing arrives, or some information that's already available on the Internet. A lot of them will say things like classified ads. And, again, here it talks about the assembling envelopes, stuffing envelopes. No one's going to pay you $2 to $5 when it can be done by a machine for 2 cents a piece. We tell folks that's been automated for the last 40 years. There's no need to pay someone to do mailers. Now, some people have, they've called me and swear that they've made money doing it. So I don't know what specifically they've done in that regard. Some good tips to keep in mind would include, know who you're dealing with, get references from other people doing the work. The company may not be offering employment directly, only some resources. Don't believe that you can make big money easily. Find out if there's a market for your work. And any legitimate company will be happy to give you all the information, ask any questions you have. The bogus ones will not. They want your money right now. Just give me the money. We'll send you everything you need. Final story of caution. And again, it's talking about a woman in Texas who got tricked into money laundering. So never do that. Never go down the avenue of thinking that you could process money for other people. Let's see, we got a text question here, and I'll relay it to you here. Jeffrey Bennett asking about those commercials on the radio for internet companies to make money from home. I would say most are not legit, quite honestly. I mean, I never want to say 100% blanket guarantee, but, you know, again, would be so vague when there's no details. If you go to the website, and first I'd make sure that I had some good antivirus, anti-malware software to make sure they're not installing any spyware on your machine. But if you go to that website, and everyone that I've looked at has no specifics. Here, you can make $2,000 a week. There's no specifics. There's nothing outlining how you make the money. So I haven't seen one yet that's legitimate. And I'll be honest with you, I'm of the personal belief that most ads that I'm hearing right now on the radio are bogus opportunities. We saw the one the other day with this Blue Hippo where you can buy a computer. And I don't know if some people might even be trying this for their business. They're really targeting the poor where you give them so many dollars per week out of your checking account, $39 a week or whatever. And then after 26 weeks, they send your computer. And they found that out, you know, only one computer was sent, and this company made millions of dollars. The only good news is the government is finally, U.S. government anyway, realizing something that I said over 5 years ago, that if they get involved and stop all the scams going out, you could put $500 million to $1 billion back into the economy that could be spent on legitimate products and services and not just handed over to criminals. So that's, if you find one, buddy, let me know. I have yet to see one. Have yet to see one, quite honestly. Well, we're down to about 15 minutes. I'm going to open up the voice chat here and see if anyone has any questions. And again, you're certainly welcome to discuss anything on your mind, because again, there's so much to cover. And I apologize, we certainly had some guests that initially agreed to show up that had some last minute obligations. So there we go with the voice chat. Is okay. So again, I guess until we get any questions, I will talk about some of these books. Let me look through these. I put a whole bunch of books up here, and this may be the biggest thing of this of the presentation is going through here. Let me look through these books here for you. Career Comeback, 8 Steps to Getting Back on Your Feet After Being Fired or Laid Off. The Everything Home-Based Business, Everything You Need to Know to Start a Home-Based Business. And again, these are NLS books. These are free. Now, that doesn't mean there's some good stuff that's worth paying for, especially over at Audible or getting a Bookshare subscription, but there's a lot of great NLS books, and that's why I listed these. So these are all things that we can look at. The Home Office and Small Business Answer Book, Solutions to the Most Frequently Asked Questions. That's a good one. I've read that one. Life is a Series of Presentations, How to Improve Your People Skills. That's important, too, because you can talk about that a little bit. You certainly, through the time, have had some difficult customers and people who you had to kind of smooth over because, you know, the things, maybe it was their fault, maybe they didn't understand what they were buying, or maybe they were just trying to pull a fast one and get a refund and get it for free. Is there any customer stories you want to share?
Or
just things that people need to watch out for, you know.
You know, unfortunately, you're always going to get a dissatisfied customer. You're never going to do business, and that's never not going to happen. You know, you have to try to be reasonable, to give them the benefit of the doubt, you know, at least once. Now, if they continually do it, then you have to be very, you know, diplomatic, but fair and firm and not let them do it. I don't, fortunately, having 30 years of experience in the government,
working Social Security,
right?
You know, Social Security, you probably saw about every hook, line, and sinker.
Way. So some of this, I find I don't have as much tolerance in this, you know, I'll do my very best to help a customer, but I'm, you know, in the government, we had to put up with the abusive language and that kind of stuff. I'm not going to put up with that
For
a $5 CD.
Exactly. Let's look at some of these other titles here. Making Self-Employment Work for People with Disabilities. So if you're concerned, and maybe I'll address that here real quickly. Has there been any specific issues that you've had by not having eyesight? Whether it was just making sure the CDs had accurate print labeling or getting items shipped properly. I know that was probably an evolving process as well. have a system that was
foolproof. Well, that was an evolving process, and Jennifer's been real good at that. We've been burnt a couple times on the print labels. We thought it had printed the label, and we had no way of verifying that graphic. That has happened, but we try to put things in place so that that doesn't really happen. But, you know, very, very, very seldom does that, you know, watch it happen tomorrow. But, you know, it doesn't usually happen. But, yeah, we've had that happen. And one of the things that we do here is our business. Now, most of our business is from people who have no idea if we're visually impaired or not, but is, you know, we've started a policy that, and Jennifer does this for everyone who orders something that wants the, you know, the Braille or a Braille label put on the CDs. And a lot of old-time radio companies just don't do that. But we have that specialty and capability, so we do that for our customers.
Well, that's really cool. So people just need to ask for it, then you get them set up. Right. Because most of your clients are sighted.
That's correct.
Right. That's important. There's some really good titles here, folks. Best Home Businesses for People 50+. People who believe the best opportunities are yet to be. What If I Don't Want to Go to College? A Guide for Successful Alternative Education. America's Top 100 Jobs for People Without a 4-Year Degree. And here's a good one. Turn Your Passion into Profit. Step-by-step guide for taking your hobby, talent, or idea into a money-making venture. A lot of good stuff, folks, right there. Your NLS, your National Library Service. So all of these titles I pulled from Bard. So if you're a member of that, go get it, download it, put it on your Victor, and, you know, off you go. All kinds of good stuff.
Maybe I should read some of it.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jennifer.
You know, we were talking about the things that customers tell you, and I think, I guess, in to me, it's funny because in hindsight, it's funny, but at the time, I felt sorry for this lady. She had bought a CD, and she was trying to get this CD to play, and she bought the MP3, and she was going to give it to her grandson, and she says, I cannot get this CD to fit in my iPod. Where does the CD go?
Yeah, I mean, there's the basic ones that they're buying MP3 CDs and try to play them on a regular player. But yeah, it wants to go on the iPod or that reminds me of that old program, Coke.exe, and you run it and it opens your CD-ROM drawer. It's customer ignorance is a very interesting phenomenon that I'm sure business owners, because it's interesting because I've gone to some of these events. They're like trade shows just to business owners and some of the stories they tell. You know, you've heard of the stupid criminal stories, but these are kind of the stupid customer stories that would just totally amaze you. 101 Best Home Businesses. See what else? There's so many good ones here. And then there's, of course, a lot of them there by Audible if you want to pay some good money. A few here that I read, Mike Cowell introduced me to. You have to have kind of an open mind. They're different. These are for folks who think out of the box. One by Thomas L. Friedman called The World is Flat. And I actually found another book the other day. That one's talking about the global economy and how you have to kind of think out of the box and think about the world at large. Do you guys have a lot of business outside of the U.S.?
Quite a bit. Not as much as we used to. We think more once this download goes into effect. We will be doing more because people get involved with shipping, you know, and the customs, and you'll get customers who want you to, you know, declare the value cheaper so they don't get hit for custom. But, you know, shipping outside of the United States, that's a whole different issue.
Right. So that's something that people need to investigate. Think about, is your primary, your market base inside your country, or are you going to have to deal with international and charges and tariffs and things of that sort? But anyway, The World is Flat, and I saw a new one called The World is Curved on the NLS, I guess talking about the downsides of a global economy. The 4-Hour Work Week by Timothy Ferris. This is a really good book. I was... you know, first you got to listen to him. He's bragging a little bit about, you know, what he's been able to accomplish. And he talks about delegating and how to prioritize. But as you go later into the book, he gives some really good resources and talks about, you know, buying products and selling them for more. And there's a lot of good, you know, resources in that book. If you're not interested in the initial theme of the book, there's some really good resources as you get into it. Here's a good one, and it is actually free if you choose the right link at Audible. It's called Free, The Future of a Radical. And it talks about the concept of offering things for free, and that's exactly what you've done. You have the BillSparks.org. You have people that can go and just listen to radio stations. There's no cost. And then some of those people turn around and buy your old-time radio show. So you're kind of a prime example of someone who, you know, took one website, kind of a hobby, and helped feed your vocation by doing that. And I think that's pretty cool, and that's the great example of that. And then there's other ones there. 36 biggest mistakes that salespeople make. One called the 60-second procrastinator. If you're going to have a business for yourself, you better get past any issues you have with procrastinating, because it's something that plagues a lot of people, and for different reasons. But, you know, I mean, you really have to just see what needs to be done and get in there and do it, because... Here's a good one, How to Grow When Markets Don't. It talks about the downturn in the economy and partnering with other companies that are doing similar things that you are, and how the large companies are laying off and cutting back their services, and it's a great time for a small business to grow. So there's all kinds of good stuff there.
And it helps get things done if the place you go and work is in a part of your, if you work from home, if it's in a part of your home where you don't do anything else there.
Right. That's why I was talking about the workspace. You really want to have a dedicated room. I mean, first of all, U.S. residents need to legally for tax purposes. So you can take a fourth of your living expenses off. But you're right. I mean, you don't want to mix. You don't want to have it. And maybe that's part of my problem. You know, I have it. It's in my office, but it's also all my computers are in here, and I can easily deviate and start playing with something. It's almost all work related, but I tend to go back and forth, and sometimes you have to just say, I'm in work mode and I'm going to do nothing but work. And, you know, if I want to come back to something and maybe I won't remember it, I need to just write it down as something I want to do in my off time. But I think you're right. You've got a dedicated office, and that office is your store, and it is nothing but work-related materials. And I think you're right. That's a very good point. I'm glad you mentioned that's what I was referring to before in my talk about the workspace. You could have a dedicated area, and that's what it's for. And don't mix and match. No different than not mixing and matching your bank accounts. Make sure that your personal finances are totally separate from your business to keep all that straight. But again, you've got so Audible and those books, you know, anywhere from $16-$25. Of course, you can get different subscriptions to get that cost down to about $10 a piece. There's bookshare.org with an annual subscription of about $50. They have a wealth of material. The audio just business, I came up with 962. Bookshare, I came up with about 170. And I even put down here, I mention these again. First, the only legitimate site for grants is grants.gov. That's for U.S. government grants. There are some private business and foundation grants, but grant scams is something I saw a lot of folks get taken advantage of. And I guess the only other thing to mention, there were some great computer resources here, a few books, because if you're going to have a business, you need some computer savvy. You don't need to be an expert, but a few books here that even NLS offers. Here's a good one. Surviving PC Disasters, Mishaps, and Blunders. It's a pretty good book. And here's a great one I would recommend everybody reading, and I need to finish it myself here. It's called Send, the Essential Guide to Email for Office at Home. And it talks about a lot of mistakes that people make when they send out email. And it's really good. That's a great book. It's an NLS book. Here's one I just downloaded. I want to read. It's called The Huffington Post Guide to Blogging. We're just about out of time, but I want to talk about that real quickly, that, you know, we need to make ourselves appear as professional. We need to have experience. So if you don't have a lot of work experience under your belt, the internet gives you something that you've never had before. It gives you the ability. You can go out and set up a blog, research something that you're passionate about, a subject, and learn all you can and post about it. Create a blog or a website talking about all the knowledge you have. You will make yourself appear to be an expert with credentials that others that didn't take the time to do that. So you will definitely have the upper hand. It's a great suggestion. I mean, there's free ones out there. You've got Blogger, you know, and you've got free blogs at WordPress. If you want something a little more sophisticated, you got a lot of these websites like Bluehost.com and some of the other top providers for as low as $6.95 a month. You can go up and set up a blog or a website, or, you know, stream audio, do a podcast. There's a lot of ways that we can take our knowledge, just by sharing it with other people, make ourselves to be perceived, because it's all about perception, as an expert. Go to serotalk.com and you can click on the show notes and look at all these different resources. Again, we will be off next Thursday for Thanksgiving. Next chat on Thursday, December 3rd at 9 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, and until we meet again, please stay connected and stay directed.